What's poppin', part one, people? Got a thin lineup today. It's just, looks like it's just Drew from Ferndale and Jay from Plymouth. But, that may change. Charlie's supposed to be here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, where's Charlie?
I have no idea. He was supposed to be here about 35 minutes ago.
Mark is paid.
Mark bugged off. I don't know what's... Mark does not like to miss the show, but he has some issues, and so he is excused for the day. But we'll carry on if Charlie can't make it.
Has he got a case of the Fridays, or...?
I don't know. I think he's just late. I mean, there's no telling with him, but I think he's just late. I'm not worried about it yet. It is a big day today. Today is the 9th of September, which means today's really the last show before 9/11. And I really wanted to get into that a bit because, of course, I don't know. 9/11 is something I feel like just does not get its due anymore. You know, here it's only been, 15 years, and it seems like, I'm not saying it's forgotten, it's just not the big deal that it was the first couple years in particular. You know, the first 5 years, it seemed like 9/11 was a huge day, you know. And we talked about people whose birthday was 9/11 or 9/12 and how screwed they were because 9/11 was such a gigantic, I mean, just had this huge shadow over that whole period. But I don't know, I don't feel like it's quite that big a deal. In fact, I saw very little about it today at all. It's not 9/11, but it is the last work day before 9/11, so I thought there'd be more on it. But we'll see. Sunday, I predict there's not a big deal made of 9/11. A big deal made of 9/11. Now, there's also a company in San Antonio called Miracle Mattress that did like a 9/11 parody joke ad. Did you see that?
Yeah. The hell were they thinking?
What in the fuck? Now, fortunately, that didn't go unnoticed. In fact, we should look them up.
It's pretty sad. There's probably going to be more attention to that than September 11th.
Possibly. It was on, I guess it was online. I'm not sure it aired on television, but you know, a lot of people saw it on their Facebook page. In fact, do you want to try their face? Oh, is that it? And let's they're probably still open, right? Friday at this time?
I think so. Should be.
Give them a call. See how they're doing. See whose great idea that was. They're backing way off now, of course, going, "Oh my God, I don't know what we're thinking." I mean, how that passed muster.
Mattress for a twin price.
Full mattress.
Twin price.
Queen mattress.
Twin price.
King mattress.
Twin price. Store-wide sale all day long.
Oh my.
We'll never forget.
Oh my God.
Bad.
These two guys who are repeating everything in duplicate, they fall backwards and topple over about, you know, 8 or 10 mattresses which are stacked up. You know, like the equivalent of the Twin Towers going down, I suppose. Oh, God, is that stupid.
Well, it's patriotic. It's got the American flag in the background. And they cover it all up with, and we'll never forget.
Yeah. Yes, she said, we'll never forget the sale is what she means at the end there. God. No, we'll never forget the sale. And not to mention the talent used in the piece is not the most impressive.
No, not at all.
That chick usually does their heads.
In the comment section under that video, it says, "Update, Miracle Mattress is closing its doors."
Oh, is that for real?
From backlash due to the backlash, so I don't know if this is legit or not, but we can look up Miracle Mattress and see if we can catch them before they close
their
doors.
It's closed indefinitely. We'll be silent. Through the 9/11 anniversary to avoid any further distraction from a day of recognition. And now they're all emotional about 9/11. Now they can't do enough to show how much they feel the power of remembering 9/11. Now that they've made the joke. Mike Bonanno?
Yeah, the owner.
From Miracle Mattress. Okay. Can you look up Mike Bonanno? See if he's listed?
Yeah, we'll do.
And what else is football season? Man, we got Lions on Sunday. Late game. I think we're going to do a show after the football game on Sunday. Michigan State's off this week, but Michigan plays Saturday. And I'm all fired up to go hit the tailgate and do my first Michigan game of the year. The Hokies, yeah, how exciting. A game day, I'm figuring, has got to be following my Hokies because they're playing in Bristol, Tennessee against the University of Tennessee at the Bristol Speedway, which holds about 160,000 people. It's supposed to be the biggest crowd ever to see a college football game, or any football game for that matter, 160,000 people. What a clusterfuck that seems like it would be. I don't know how they get all those people into the racetrack, but I guess if they do that, then get them into a football game. Except it's a little different when you have a crowd that's not used to going to a venue, kind of like when they have hockey and soccer at the Big House in Ann Arbor. It's a different crowd. Nobody knows where they're going. So I don't know. I think that could be a little bit nuts.
Just trying to think about the concession area. You know, try to get a dog, a beer, or soda, something like that at a racetrack versus, you know, like a traditional stadium.
Well, they, you know, they do feed their race fans, so, you know, yeah. You would think they could handle it. But I'm thinking that getting people in and out of the place will be kind of nuts because that's the only problem in Ann Arbor. I mean, Ann Arbor is really too small to handle 110,000 people anyway, but it's such a routine. Everybody goes at the same time. They know how early to leave to beat traffic. So many people get there at 8 or 9 o'clock so they can party for 3 or 4 hours, and then you got the people that cruise in at 11 o'clock. So it all kind of works. But then when you have an event crowd that's not used to going there and everybody kind of shows up at the same time, you run into some problem. And people don't know where to park, and so they're just kind of warbling around. Anyway, anything from LaDuff?
No, he said he was going to... I texted him the number, said he'd maybe call in. Nothing yet. Heard dogs barking, though, upstairs. You want me to go check?
Yeah, okay, I guess. That was weird. I mean, I don't know why they're barking. Usually it's something. In fact, I tweeted out today that Mark from the Ferndale Inspectors Department came by around 2:30, and I saw him in the front yard. He tapped on the front door, which you have to reach up about. I mean, you have to really get on your tiptoes to reach the front door. And he tapped on it. The dogs were barking. I went out there. And he was approving the permit for the front porch. Yes, the permit for the new front porch at the home of the broadcast of the Drew and Mike podcast will be available on Monday. And construction of the new front porch should start shortly after. What's up? What are they barking at?
Must have been somebody going by. No Charlie.
Okay.
But permit for the front porch?
Yes. Front porch will be raging. Rob will be out there busting his ass probably all next week. Hopefully, my goal is that it's done Friday by the time Charlie gets here.
It's like I can just see Rob out there with like tools in hand, everything ready to go the second the permit's on the property.
Pretty close.
Be like ready to start right away. So
he has a... He has other things to do, but this is a very high priority. In fact, I'm bribing him with some baseball tickets, so hopefully he can really kick some ass next week. And the Tigers got a big weekend with the Orioles in town. Wow, is this a big series. They are one game behind Baltimore and a three-game set, which features not only Verlander on Sunday, which is great, always great when JV hits a hill, but Jordan Zimmermann will test it out Saturday for the first time since his disastrous performance the last time he tried to come back. And it turned out he still had pain in his arm, and we'll see this time. This guy was off to a fantastic start. I mean, we're paying him $22 million to be a real hoss in that rotation. And he was pitching his ass off. You know, he was 8-2 or something. He was among the league leaders in ERA. And then all of a sudden, the velocity lowered. The arm started to hurt. The disabled list he was put on, and what looked like it was going to be a short delay in his season, or just a, you know, maybe 3 weeks, became more than a 2-month injury. And somehow, you know, I don't know how they're doing it with mirrors, I say. Somehow that starting pitching rotation has really pitched well in his absence. People have stepped up. A couple of young guys, Boyd and Norris. Of course, Fulmer has been incredible. He's pitching tonight. Hopefully he finds himself, as he's been in a little slump lately. Oh, a tweet, or a text, I should say. Okay, that's a little off the... That's not what I was looking for.
How's Maben doing, by the way?
Maben, he's been... He came out strong following his 5 days off. He missed five games, I think, and he came out strong the first couple games, and then I think he's been maybe slumping a little bit since then. But he's okay. I mean, I think he's healthy, but you know, it's hard to be off and on and off and on, and you know, you're playing for 2 months, and then you're off for a week, and then you're back for a week, and then you're off for a few days. Dude, he's playing his ass off. His Upton has been just out of this world. 9 home runs in 17 games, 24 RBIs, and after a pretty horrid season for 120 games, all of a sudden Jay's got the phone in his hand. I wonder what. Maybe this is Charlie. He's still only hitting about 240, if that, but his power numbers are like a 3,100 guy. He's got 22 bombs and 70 ribbies all of a sudden. That's what a 17-game stretch of 9 home runs will do for you. This is a guy that we heard could carry you for 2 weeks. He's so streaky. Now, he's shown us the crappy streaks. I mean, this guy was in a 120-game slump. I've never seen a guy paid that much who slumped for that long. But actually, his numbers got better as the season wore on, but he just wasn't really coming through for us until just recently. What's going on? Oh, it is Charlie. Well, thanks for stopping by. Oh, okay. I'm getting awfully high maintenance here on this Friday broadcast. I was reading about this gambler who was trolling casinos using the name S-U-K-M-I-K-E-H-O-K. Suck my cock. A cheeky gambler has come up with a creative way of teasing online croupiers by adopting the name Suck My Cock, Mike Hawk, H-O-K. The poker, blackjack, and roulette player uses the alias while playing live casino games during which real-life hosts connect remotely with gamblers. It's customary for croupiers to salute each player typically by saying their username out loud. Suck my cock! And I guess they'd yell it out really having no idea how it was going to sound. Because when you look at it, you know, it looks like, wait, suck Mike Hawk. Sucking Mike. I mean, it just doesn't seem like, it doesn't make sense. You know, you got this seemingly Asian name with Mike, but anyway, you know, what harm can there be in throwing that name together until you say, suck Mike Hawk? There's no way to say it. I mean, even if you really pronounce out the whole name. Charlie?
Drew.
You having car trouble today? Dude. What's going on?
Car trouble? What do you mean? How the fuck do you get in this house?
There's a back door. Duh. What's the problem?
What's wrong with the fucking side door?
The air conditioning is having a little wrinkle here, so we put some Visqueen up, and a wall unit is in the doorway inside. So we can't use that door, or else you'd have to bust down the Visqueen in the hallway to get through that doorway. So you have to come in the back door.
What? Okay. So the only way out of the fucking death trap of your house has been sealed up. Because you got...
What are you talking about, the death trap? There's no death trap. You go up the
stairs... There's no way out of that fucking basement.
Oh, come on, Charlie. The basement... Not every basement has a door. Okay, we have egress here. We can count our square footage in the basement because we do have a door, but we're just temporarily out of business. It's temporary.
Well, when's the fucking porch coming in?
The permit has been pulled. It'll be ready Monday. I just announced that, by the way. I tweeted it out a while ago.
That's another thing, man. I'm not included on the tweets. I'm locked out of the house. I can't come in without an escort.
No, you can't come in.
Dog shit. I'm at the back door.
There's
nobody brings beer.
There's no dog shit. The yard's been cleaned up.
I just stepped in it.
And yes, you do need to be escorted. Now, where are you?
I'm out. I haven't been paid. You owe me at least like $75. Nobody calls me during the week. Nobody cares if I died.
You don't call us. You're a busy
guy.
You
pretend like you're looking at you're going to see your dad, but you really just don't want me around, Drew. I'm running around the backyard like a Mags.
Charlie, you're the Friday show. People look forward to hearing you at the end of the week. You're an institution in this town and on this podcast. Relax. Just because you have to be escorted through the house.
That's
and I think
good enough for me, man.
Is there no beer, Jay? Oh, I guess there is a beer, apparently. Jay's going to come.
I brought it again. I brought it yet again.
Oh, you did. Jay's coming up to escort you down. Jay, can you escort Charlie? I don't want him any other part of the house. Just straight through the kitchen.
I want to see a floor plan. I'm first up the stairs in case this thing blows, though.
Nothing's going to blow up. This wall unit's not the most impressive air conditioning unit I've ever seen, but it's doing the job. You'll notice.
Where am I, Jay? Dogs are barking at me like I'm a stranger.
No, they don't bark at anyone else. Sure.
Yeah, I'll follow you. I'm not sure if I should follow Jay.
Layla, follow Jay.
Go in front of Jay. I'm not sure the protocol.
You should be in front of him, I think. Oh, Charlie, are you okay? Charlie fell down the stairs.
There's no runners on the carpet.
Are you looking for an Academy Award here? What a performance that was. Oh, my God. We need a microphone for him. Microphone, please, for Charlie.
Let me check out this thing real quick. I just want to make sure I can get out of here.
It's a wall unit.
Okay.
The Visqueen is keeping things cool in here. It'd be a lot less cool if we used the window unit. Unfortunately, we tried to use the window there, but it just all the air conditioning ends up in that little tiny room.
And show's been really good, man.
Thanks. Can you turn your phone off, please?
Oh, my phone? Is it still on?
Yeah.
It is still on.
Getting dueling Charlies.
Speaking of which. Okay, hold on. Like, how come you never hook up in, like, any sweet guests like Charlie Sheen, like, when I'm on? I want my bullshit with that dude for an hour.
We tried to call Andy Dick. Didn't we? Oh, yeah, we did, because you remember you were impersonating Andy? I actually thought that he picked up for a second when you first did that, when you said, "Hi, this is Andy." I thought that was Andy Dick. I swear to God, I didn't want to say it at the time. I was embarrassed. Because he is a weird-sounding dude. I like him, though. We have Andy's number hit, don't we? We can try Andy.
We keep trying.
Let's try him at the beginning of the show. We've never tried him this early.
Okay.
Why not?
It's like roll the bones, man. You want a beer, Jay?
Please.
Lagunitas.
His first Maximus.
Never had it.
Lagunitas Maximus?
Would you like one?
No, thanks.
Do you drink beer?
Yeah, I do.
I've never seen you drink a beer.
I don't like drinking during the show. Hey, did you ever get your question answered?
Which one?
How much does the dirt cost?
Mm-mm.
Negative?
Yeah, these guys.
I mean, one question.
You know, Matt, you know, the guy I work with?
Yeah, sure.
He's like,
a great
man,
job.
He's like, all right, stop poking the bear, man. Just wait to see if the Fed's going to do something. But I really didn't. They really play funny, these guys. They really play funny.
Well, you know, they've made such a hullabaloo over the cost of the dirt that what's wrong with asking what the dirt costs?
Oh, you want some breaking news?
Yeah.
Speaking of the dirt?
Sure.
Remember, like, we're going to do it Monday so everybody gets it ahead of time, but I'm told, so don't send me another legal form, sir. Not another one. But one of my moles in City Hall said that the retroactive 6 inches of dirt, like, remember?
Yes.
To avoid any unintended consequences in case we didn't put enough dirt in there.
Uh-huh.
They have pulled the legislation. They're no longer going for the 6 inches of retroactive dirt.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
What does that do to the price of the knockdown?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm going to wait. Either the feds are going to come or they're not.
These questions sound so silly, don't they?
Ridiculous.
But I mean, you have to ask them. I mean, we're just following their protocol.
Well, again, you know, if the man wants to say it's all the nice fluffy soil driving these prices up.
You know, I thought of something because, you know, your piece was so powerful in that, you know, it was clearly you wanted to know one thing and one thing only, and you went to all the people who should be able to tell you this one thing, and of course they all scattered from you. It's really funny watching. I mean, they respond to you before they even. I mean, they basically, I think as soon as there's recognition, the scatter routine starts. You can tell how uptight they are. I don't know if it's the sight of the camera. I think it's you, because they have cameras come in there.
Yeah, no, nobody likes me.
But people, I mean, they get up from their desks and they start moving really quickly and they pick up phones and it's, I mean, I feel bad for them Because you're not trying to hurt anybody.
Answer the question.
I get a question answered. People,
have you ever seen such a thing?
No, I know. And then the thing about the questions in advance, and you put up the, here's my question.
You know,
what does the dirt cost?
Imagine like the governor, right? He like his ass is on the grill with Flint.
Oh, yeah.
He at least comes out and talks about it occasionally.
Yeah, he does. I have to say, I'm sure people are going to say, oh, are you naive? But I basically trust the governor.
You do?
Yeah, I know that sounds really stupid and naive, but okay, in terms of your average governor politician, I think he's pretty trustworthy.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that today, and here's my thought about Flint.
He's not a career politician either.
No, he's not a career politician, but
he's become a politician.
Does he have the strength to do the right thing when it was called? Let me go like this. So Flint, when the water starts going bad, they switched over in 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
Into 2015. What was going on at that time? Detroit's going through bankruptcy, and everybody's bitching about it, right? He's fighting, he's left, right, you know, we're taking pensions, this and that. He's also running for re-election, right?
Yeah.
Right at that same time. So knowing that something's wrong with the Flint water, whether it be lead or there's poop in it or whatever, he never pulled the trigger and said, hey, we got to spend the money. A mistake was made. We have to go to the legislature, get some money to bail Flint out, get him clean water until this stupid water project that got us into all this trouble can be built. But he didn't do it because politics were at play. You know, the seat of power was at play. The reputation was at play. Detroit and the bankruptcy was at play. And remember, the whole emergency manager thing got voted out by the people of Michigan, and they got it put back in the 11th hour lame duck session
right.
of the legislature. So, yeah, I don't think he's a harmful guy. I don't think he's a malicious man. But that was weak. It was weak.
Maybe that's what I mean. He's not a malicious person, or he certainly, I think he has good intentions. You know, you're talking about, basically the playing of politics, which he participated in at that time. I'm reading about today's stories in the Free Press. Michigan DEQ to target Flint faucets as lead source. And then right below it, there's a story about U.S. Senate considers Flint funding, but time is short for action. And this is the same thing. If they don't come up with some money for Flint soon, then the window closes and they can't do anything for a certain amount of time, which it's like, wait a second. These people are drinking shit water in a large metropolitan area in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that your windows or, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know how it works, your sessions and your, you know, however money is expended, that there's a limited amount of time before you can, if it's not done during this window, then nothing can be done. It's like, what do you mean? People are drinking shitty water. Why isn't everyone jumping and literally throwing money at this city?
Well, didn't they? Isn't there something like $240 million that have been allocated to Flint? You know, hasn't there been $27 million for pipes to be replaced? How come we only got
four? There has been, but why is progress so slow?
Well, you know, now they're going to come out and they're going to say, in the water expert, like,
they should be ahead of anything, any program, any amount of money they have. They should be beating whatever was expected.
Well, they're starting to say, hey, the water's good to go. You can bathe in it, you can drink from it, continue to filter it, but, you know, it's good to go. I don't think anybody in Flint
believes him.
And even if it's true, why would they believe you? Because you lied to them before. And where's all the fucking money? So what window? Closing on what? What do we need? Somebody tell me what we need in Flint.
Okay.
What do we need?
Clean
water?
Months after Michigan members of Congress began agitating for federal funding to help replace miles of old lead pipes throughout Flint, the U.S. Senate finally appears poised to take up legislation next week. They could do just that, though its final passage is far from certain.
Time out. There's 25. I was talking to the governor's guy this morning. There's $25 million sitting around for lead pipe replacement. Now the holdup in Flint, I'm told, is, okay, we finally got the contractors, and there was a big hullabaloo with that. So, you know, I wonder who the contractors are and how that came to be, right?
Yeah, of course.
Don't forget, you know, Flint's got a history of stuff like Detroit. But the new holdup is we didn't get permission from these people in their homes to let us come on and change the pipe. You get what I'm saying? Like, we didn't go door to door and do you want your pipe replaced? Sign this notice allowing us to do it. So I'm like, how's that a fucking holdup?
Did they just assume? I mean, couldn't you just assume that they want their pipes replaced?
Well, they're legally, you can't just be digging people's houses. But how about this? You start at like 15 Maple Street, right? Yeah. Dig it up. And somebody go knock on the door 17 Maple Street and get them to sign it.
Right.
And then go to 19 Maple Street.
It seems like it's pretty simple. I mean, it could nothing. What could be simpler than getting every single home, people who are going to be very inclined to want to do this. I mean, simply a matter of knocking on the door a couple times.
Government sucks. Everybody's pissed at the government. I keep saying it on this show, but this is the Friday rant. What the fuck are you doing? Now, don't forget this. Before you take up with the article again, there's like a 2.5 mile stretch of pipe that the EPA is requiring Flint to build so they can test the water, put it in a lagoon and stuff, test the water before they give it to people. It's not being built. Nobody signed the paperwork. We don't know still long term where the fucking water's coming from, and we're getting no closer to getting online with that new water system because the mayor of Flint might be fucking around. I don't know who's fucking around.
And, of course, you know, when this new water system does come into play, I mean, assuming that it does, water bills are going to double.
Well,
aren't they?
The whole point was supposed to be that, like, they were never going to change. They're not going to give you a discount, right? It was supposed to cost you less, but we're going to keep you the same price to pay for the new water system. And in 30 years, oh, it's going to be cheaper than Detroit's, we think. Of course, $250 million later, it's a loser.
Yeah.
The whole shit was, and bro, making nickels from this podcast, you get to pay for it.
Yeah.
You get to, every nickel you make, man, they're taking a penny. Fuck you. But not you, the people of Flint.
No.
Me as a guy that works and cares about things. Yeah, man. I help you out. Like you said, though, this is a major American metropolis. How can this be?
Yeah, how can... I don't know how people aren't just leaping to get this done, and every politician isn't asking, how do I approve? How do I get money sent? How do I get money spent? How do... Whatever. It blank check.
No. No. That's what we're that's what we keep doing.
It's just not, I don't mean it literally. I know. Just the point being, whatever it costs to do the right thing, do it.
Get the Army Corps in there. You know, you can't get it done, let's parachute the Army. They do parachute, don't they? The Army Corps?
Yeah, they do.
It's got Army in the name.
Oh, this is just stupid. The Water Resources Development Act of 2016 is a sweeping bill that touches on projects from harbor maintenance to dam construction. It includes a series of water quality measures, including $100 million for drinking water systems where an emergency has been declared because of high lead levels. Flint, where lead levels shot up, is the only place in the U.S. that would qualify. The funding would potentially help to replace lead lines, improve the water treatment plant. Blah, 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 blah. If the so-called WRDA clears the Senate as written sometime next week, it will have to wait until later this year to be considered by the U.S. full U.S. House. If it's considered at all, only 20 legislative days remain in the Senate until after the November 8 election. And even after that, only about 4 legislative weeks remain in Congress's 2016 calendar. So there just may not be time to do it. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's not going to get done. So, you know, Flint's got to cross their fingers for Hillary because she owes Flint, you know, for being a backdrop to her campaign.
You know, I just was reading something about... what Hillary's done for Flint. I mean, it was being suggested that, look what she did for Flint. What did she do for Flint? She showed up one day, and she flapped her gums about it. What has she done for Flint?
That's my burp. That's what? I don't know. I just got back from Flint.
Jay just talked to Andy Dick.
You did not. What has Dick done for Flint? I'll tell you what he's done. Dick.
Jay, why didn't you just ring it through the board?
I took a chance to see if he did.
He's a star fucker.
Oh, my God.
We could have talked to Dick. I'm the one that called him. I mean, Andy wants to talk to me. Talk to the mullet
I would have muscled 10 minutes out of him. He said Monday?
Yeah, he was just like, I don't know really what, I don't have anything I'm promoting at the moment.
We don't care. We love everything he does.
Wait a minute.
I'm not here Monday. It's more bullshit. This has to do with me, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. I blame it on you, Jay.
I'll hang my head for the rest of the show, Charlie.
Call him up. Right now.
What was his problem with today?
We know he's home.
How does he have more to promote on Monday?
He just said that he couldn't talk at this particular moment.
Just call him up.
He said he was not able to talk to us right now.
Just call him up.
Just how about next week?
No, just call him up right now.
I think it's a blow off.
Just call him up. Hey, Andy, you know, just call him up.
And we'll just take care of it and we'll handle it?
Yeah, yep. Just ring him in, man.
Yeah, try it.
Come on. It's fucking Drew. What number are you on the podcast now?
Don't know right this second.
I mean, we, but I'm not fully sure anymore. It's we.
Now, would you stop acting like you're somehow hurt or being cheated?
I'm like that little old lady standing behind Ben Bailey, not getting paid any attention.
Come on.
Yeah, boy.
Hello?
If you hadn't done that before, I would have bought it. Oh, he's ditching us. Yeah, it's a blow-off.
Thank you for calling. This is Andy. Please leave a message with your phone number and your name.
Damn it.
And I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Hope you have a great day.
I'll try.
Bye-bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Andy, this is Drew from the Drew and Mike podcast. We've talked to you a bunch of times. I'm sure you remember from we were on sports radio. We were on regular radio. We don't care what you have to promote. We can talk about a million things with you. We love your football movie. Here comes football season. Was it Division III? Was that his name of his football movie? We loved it. Anyway, Andy was the coach, and he was brilliant. He was hilarious. We have so much to talk about with you, but unfortunately, Charlie is here on Friday, and he's not here on Monday. So if we call you on Monday, Charlie gets pimped. Yeah, Division III, football's finest. There you go.
Call me Randy. Randy Slick. Hi, Randy.
You're not helping matters at all, Charlie.
Oh, come on, Andy. Pick up the phone, dude.
Yeah, please. Charlie wants to talk.
I know you're sitting there in that caboose of yours just going, should I? Should I? Come on, Andy. It's funny. We want to roast you.
We want to know if you're still... No, we don't want to roast him.
Oh, we
love Andy.
Well, let's get him to Detroit to do a roast. Of you. Oh, yeah. Now we got a live broadcast.
I want to know if he's still living in that storage container.
The caboose. Yeah, the caboose.
The caboose. That thing was cool. I'm telling you, I was envious. Okay, we're chewing up all your... Well, not chewing up anything. You have plenty of space on your digital machinery, I'm sure. But, Andy, God, please call this number back and surprise us.
No, you know what? Don't. Don't.
Don't. No, do.
Don't call it back.
Do it.
Call me when you got something to promote. Look.
No,
dude, we're calling you because who gives a fuck what you got to promote? You're Andy Dick.
Charlie Sheen was on with us for an hour last week.
And he's not even funny.
Charlie was great. And you would be great, too. Come on, Andy, please call back. He knows he's got the number, right? It's all over his phone. That's why he didn't pick up this call. Okay, thanks, Andy.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. I forgot the number. Of course he saw the number and went, and we called 5 minutes later. Stupid. Oh, well. I just thought maybe just on a fluke since he picked up. He's probably waiting for a call. It's probably the only reason he picked up the phone. Look at the number.
It was the man.
No!
Meet me at the corner.
Hey, today is the last day before 9/11, last work day.
Oh, yeah.
So Sunday being 9/11, today's 9/9. And I know, I don't think we ever talked about 9/11 and where you were and what happened.
Yeah.
What were you doing on 9/11? You were probably in New York, right?
I was in New York working. That was a big election day.
NY Times?
Yeah, New York Times. It was like a 4-to-1 matching fund thing. You know what I mean? It was like 4-to-1. Like if you got on the ballot, whatever dollar you raised, the city would give you $4. So there's like 500 people on the ballot. And this was just after.
What?
Yeah,
why would
yeah.
the city give you matching? Why would they do that?
Because they're liberals.
What was
4-to-1, dude?
For what office?
Any office, city council, mayor, you name it. So, okay.
So they were trying to encourage people without much money to have enough to feel they could. If they were matched 4 times to 1, they could have enough to
make a real run,
do something.
Yeah,
okay.
Make it a real democracy. And
except it also makes the richest guy 4 times richer.
Right.
So
there might have been a limit on it, whatever. But anyway, I was going around with a voting booth mechanic. Like, that might be an interesting day. Like, a lot of people on the ballot. And this was just after Gore Bush.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right? So I was like, the only story they never did Gore Bush and the dangling chads was the voting booth mechanic, who knows these things inside and out. Like, they're his girlfriend. He knows, you know, he knows every curve in there.
Like, there's one guy who does all the voting booth stuff.
Well, you know, a couple of guys.
Mechanic, or a couple of them.
So they call him up, and he goes and fixes them.
And these guys are only, they work, like, one Tuesday every 4 years.
Yeah, a union job, baby.
Yeah. Of course, there's more elections.
And I showed up. He was fucking loaded. I mean, stewed. Like, the breath would light on fire.
What? Really? He was fucked up?
He was fucked up. And he looked over his shoulder. He goes, oh, my God, it's a big fire. And I'm like, oh, shit, he's fucked up. He goes, look. And you could see.
Was this 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:45 or so?
Whatever it was, 8:49 or
whatever. The first one was 8:45, I think.
And, it was burning like a candle.
Wow. Before the second one, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then the second one is like, oh, my God.
Were you with him when the second one hit?
I don't know, you know, because I was a little far away. I was in Queens, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then it was just a big fire and smoke everywhere. So, like, half my day was spent trying to get into Manhattan. Everybody's trying to get out, you know, but you got to run for it.
So you were trying to get something out of the story, what you could get.
Well, it was the story of your lifetime.
Of course.
So you got to go there, you know, so.
So how long did it take you to get there?
A couple hours. I got on with the Army, National Guard, somebody, some Army troop, got in a bus in Brooklyn, went over the bridge, and it was a goddamnest thing, man.
Oh, I know. I mean, I can't imagine being there. I mean, for me and for everybody we were talking to, it was a huge thing. We were on the air for 9 hours.
Mm.
And ironically, we were talking to this guy who was flying around the world. He was trying to set some kind of a... It was a stupid record. And we found once we found out more about the story, it was like, why did we book this? This is so dumb. Because he was flying from airport to airport, and he was actually taking breaks between flights and, you know, having a layover. It was like, this is nothing. This is not a record of any kind. So after we pummeled him for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, we were playing Jet Airliner out of that. Steve Miller, when I looked up at the TV and I saw the replay of the first plane. And we were like, wait a second. How could you fly right into that building? I mean, there's infinity of sky on either side and above, and he just flew right smack into that thing. That seems a little weird. And we're talking about that, and of course, you know, the coverage is massive. And then all of a sudden, that second one hit, and it was like, wow. I mean, right then and there, I'd been reading a lot about Osama bin Laden at that time.
Yeah.
And I think it was literally within a minute after that second flight, I said, Osama bin Laden.
What happened? Be.
Not that that was any...
Don't do no drops, Jay, please. not on this.
It was not any... but don't feel bad. That was a good drop.
It was, but it makes me really sad. It does. It still does.
Some drops would fit and still work.
Man, I remember, you know, down there was the municipal jailhouse, the Manhattan jailhouse. And they had all the prisoners in buses. And they were just so happy to be out of their cells. They're in the bus.
Where were their cells in relation to?
Like Ground Zero, down in there, somewhere down in there, you know, like just in the Ground Zero area. And that bus was just shaking, and any woman coming by, they were just laughing and giggling. And you could forgive them, because I don't think they understood the enormity of what was going on.
Well, you know,
I saw Iron Workers, Century 21, a very high-end gentleman shop. They took, I remember they're sitting on top of the pile, just a mess. I don't know what they were doing, trying to help, trying to look for somebody. But it was such a tangle of girders.
Oh, my God.
And they're wearing mohair trench coats and fedoras because it was so cold that night. And they're just up there, like, just dressed like Fred Astaire, trying to cut this shit away.
You know, what a dichotomy to think of, you know, the rest of us, you know, those of us who are just frightened because we know America's under attack. You know, what I always forget about when I think of 9/11, you know, when you said you were in New York, I was thinking, wow, that's it. That's the whole thing. It's right there. You were there. And then I forget about, you know, the Pentagon. The fucking Pentagon was hit by a plane. And 93, of course, was headed for the White House, allegedly. And all that went on that plane, which was so incredible, the phone calls from people on the plane to people on the ground, the live conversations, the mother of, I think it was Todd Beamer's mother, who said, look, there's two planes that have already hit the World Trade Center. It is a high, there's no bomb on that plane. That was their point, was overpower those guys. You have to do whatever you have to do to take over that plane. They're not going to blow up the plane. They're going to fly it into something. And they had already deduced that. Their group in the back of that plane had kind of come to that decision. But how ballsy, you know, what happened in the back of that plane for those people who were all really incredible people.
Yeah,
you read a lot about them.
How'd they get cell service?
I don't know. Well, you know, all the messages that were left for people, too. But, you know, those planes that are in the, they used to be stuck in the back of the seats, you know, those airphones. And I never tried that. I certainly would never have tried it at the height they were at. But, yeah, they did. A lot of people got, I mean, it's funny because they tell you, you know, you have to turn your phone off. You can't turn it on until the plane's landed and everything's cool. But actually, the truth is, if left to your own devices, you can do a lot of shit with your phone yeah, while the plane's up there.
I've turned them on, you know, in mid-flight. I've never been able to make call, you know.
But yeah, did you read? I'm sure you read. Well, like the messages people left
to go on the Pentagon part of it. Not that I make any excuse for these fucks, because I hate these fucks. But if you're going to declare an act of war, the Pentagon seems in bounds to me. The White House seems in bounds to me. To attack secretaries and janitors and clerks and sandwich delivery men. Fuck you. Fuck you. I don't get it.
And to have no apologies, no qualms about it, and anyone who supports them feels the same way, that yeah, just take out anybody.
Yeah, there's no, we go get them, we hang them high. Yeah, I just thought we were going to go into Afghanistan. I know we're all over the place. It's hard to reconcile it, Drew. It is, but you know, I just figured we were going in Afghanistan. We're going to tear that fucker up, and we're going to find the fuckers that did it. We're going to hang them from a pole, and we're going to leave. And if you come back, we're going to fuck you up again. You know, I didn't know it was going to turn into all this, what it turned into.
Oh, my God, what it turned into. You know,
they got what they wanted.
Yeah, sure they did. Oh, that was a big victory.
We got Big Brother spying on us. We got the forever war. We got bombs going off everywhere. We got fires. We got famine. We got factionalism.
ISIS.
We got everything.
Looking back on it now, too, I was thinking about this. Mark and I were talking about the fact that I've really felt that I had to support the business of going into Iraq when Colin Powell said, yes, this looks serious. Certainly is a danger of weapons of mass destruction. Everything in my logical mind was telling me, why would we go into Iraq when all these people were Saudi Arabians? There was nobody from Iraq on that.
We flew out.
Oh, yeah, that we flew out, right, which made no... What the fuck was that? Would someone explain that? Is enough time gone by to please explain that?
Because the Saudis support a lot of this. Saudis export extremism.
Sure they do. Yeah, hell yeah, they do.
They do. And let's get them out.
The madrasa schools?
Yeah, we're all oil friends. Send them on their way.
Yeah, the Bush family and the royal Saudi royal family.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that is right.
Because let me say, you know...
There was a lot of connections back to the Saudi royal family in that whole thing, the Saudi government.
No doubt. Huge. And, you know, just to keep it simpler for, like, regular people, because I'm regular. I remember, like, but...
Are you regular?
Yeah. You know, like a month or two later, like when sort of that dust settled a little bit, and I'm sitting in a bar with some other reporters, and reporters aren't, you know, most of them aren't the most brave people in the world. And we're talking about, we got to go to war, man. We got to get the fuckers that did this. And the guy goes, you know, I don't know. And I said, look, man, your grandpa fought World War II? He said, yeah. I said, they hit Pearl Harbor. I said, yeah. Your great-grandfather, was he a World War I vet? Yeah. I said, they sank the Lusitania. He said, yeah. I said, they hit your fucking neighborhood. The place where you live. They killed your neighbors. And you don't fucking know. Having said that, I was expecting a plan, a method of payment, some armor on the fucking Humvees. not some cooked up intelligence. And we're going to, you knew something was wrong when, okay, it's Osama bin Laden, it's Afghanistan, and then the president's on television talking about an axis of evil. Like, dude, can we focus before we go to Pyongyang?
What did they just want to combine that with the with?
They did. They just lumped it together.
That he wanted to assassinate that Osama, Hussein wanted to assassinate Bush Senior. Was I mean? Did all that stuff really possibly play into this and the neocons and what? Where did they cook that up? What made them think? What made them so sure that? Occupying, not only just going into Iraq but and taking out Hussein, but occupying Iraq and this whole business. You know, first it was weapons of mass destruction, axis of evil, axis of evil. Then remember it became everyone has the right to be free. Everyone deserves one vote, one man, one woman, one vote. All people want to be liberated. How do you liberate people who think women should not have driver's licenses and... You know, should be forced to live the way. I mean, they don't believe in equality. There was no way we were going to occupy that country and create democracy in that country.
Well, it was mission creep. There were no. I was there with
mission creep. That's a good word for it.
The 24th Mechanized Marine Expeditionary Unit. Right. We went there. We're looking for the weapons of mass destruction.
Were you embedded?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's quite obvious.
Bastard.
Yeah. It's quite obvious there weren't any.
No,
sure enough, like a week later, we're here to liberate. What?
Right.
I remember Tommy Isola. Hey, Tommy, I hope you're listening, man. From Roseville. Right? It's great. I was with Tommy from Roseville.
Really?
My man.
What group were you embedded with?
The 24th MEU, Marine Expeditionary Unit.
For the Times?
Yeah.
Wow. How'd you hook that up, by the way?
The Times called me. I was like, I want a piece of this shit. It's my country. You know what I mean? I covered Ground Zero for the whole year. This is my country, you know. I mean, if I'm going to say things about it, I'm going.
No, I know. I just didn't know how it worked. I didn't know how the Times worked.
But I'm going. I'm going. This is our time. My brothers and sisters. My neighborhood.
How many reporters from the Times got embedded?
Like a ton, man. I think we had like 38 people over there.
Really?
I think we had three at the height of Vietnam.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane. But.
Well, that was, 9/11 2001 is the event in our lives that,
defines us.
I like the comparison to Pearl Harbor and why I was before you called and needed the escort and had the
put some sticky tape on the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. That was quite a spill.
That's pratfall.
If there's a doctor, we would like to
Michigan get football cheerleader.
We don't have any insurance.
You got to admit that was good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was quite a spill, Charlie Hurley. I mean, you could hear it on the mic. You'll hear it on the podcast.
Let me do this.
Quite a pratfall.
Let me say what makes me
Chevy Chasian.
What makes me sad about the holiday and why I do what I do in New Detroit because how my life changed. There's a guy, nobody knows who he is. His name's Umberto. Just Umberto. He's a sandwich delivery guy. He worked for, I forgot, whatever, joint in New York. And they sent him up to deliver some sandwiches. And they never heard from him again. No cash. No last name. No. Name's probably not even Umberto. Gone. Disappeared. Erased. What would his wife know if he had one? Maybe Umberto died in the desert crossing over here. Maybe Umberto found another woman and got lost in love. We're never going to know. He was annihilated. Then, really, why I do love the badge, why I don't fall in love with dudes who wear a badge. It's not like that. But I did a series of stories about the widow of a fireman. His name is Dave Fontana. And his boy was Aiden. And
a fireman who was killed in 9/11?
In Squad 1 in Brooklyn. Ran up there to help somebody, and the shit fucking killed him. Collapsed.
They did. They all ran in there, man. They went in there without a second thought.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a second thought. I'm sure they did. But they did it anyway. And his wife's name is Marion. And I don't want to go all deep into it, but let me just put it like this. They had three funerals for him. The first one was a fake for the boy. So the boy could ask him, because he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then they found his dad.
Oh, wow.
And they had explained to the boy. And then they had the second one where, you know, dad wanted to also be buried over here. So the wife was spreading the ashes. So I'm like, what in this young man's world is death going to mean to him? And I did a series of stories on these firemen, his brothers, the widows. You know, you get involved in the most nightmarish time in their lives. You're a reporter. You just show up. Some of them are gonna hate your guts because they don't need you there. You don't belong. And some of them need you. And I got so fucked up by it. I didn't want to do it anymore. You know, it was like real time writing things down. You know, just feeling it with them.
There was some horrific, horrific pain in that thing. I remember.
Let me tell you this. The New York Times leaned on me to finish this thing. It has to be a year because, you know, it has to be. And I was so pissed. I said, really? Really? We're just going to manipulate it like that? I said, okay.
You mean the stories have to keep coming for a year?
Yeah, they have to keep coming. Once a month.
And you were storied out.
And they were sick of me, and it was hard, man. Yeah, I went to 40 of these fucking funerals. I wrote obituaries.
How many?
40 at least.
40.
Just obituary stories.
Ugh.
And I said, okay, fuckers, you want to manipulate somebody? Okay? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write about the boy. I'm gonna do it from the boy's point of view. Okay? I'm gonna take you a 5-year-old, and we're gonna talk to the 5-year-old. And I don't know if it's appropriate, but I talked to his mom, and she says, you know, maybe it would be. It would leave him a record of himself. And he went to show me his kindergarten class, and it was over, and he was going into first grade. And we're walking down the street, and he slipped his hand into mine. And he said, do you think my dad was a hero? And I'll never forget that. And I went to visit that boy when he was 15, the 10-year anniversary. And his mom had given me his father's eyeglasses. They were Ray-Bans sunglasses with prescription. And I had taken the prescriptions out and put in regular lenses in there. And he's kind of fucked up and he...
Oh, the kid's kind of fucked up now.
No, he was just kind of fucked up about the moment at the time. You know, he just 10 years, everybody wants to talk to him because his mom became famous. We did shit together. We stopped Giuliani and all them from just scooping up the gold and then just moving on. No, you're gonna find these fucking guys. We got all the widows together and, you know, did some New York Times stories. And no, man, you're not going to fucking... scoop the shit out and forget about him. It's like we're talking about Flint. We're going to spend the money and we're going to get these guys. That's what we're going to do. And anyway, he wasn't there, but I was able to the glasses don't belong to me. It's a small thing, but they're your father's. I did take the eyeglasses out, but you can wear them, dude. He's 20. He's 20 right now, man. I hope he's doing well. I hope you're doing well, Aiden.
Oh, yeah, it's 15 years. That's right. Wow.
Yeah, you know, man. Fuck, dude. It was...
Yeah, there's a lot of stories being done this year about
people asking me to do events and stuff. I said, I can't do. But that's why, you know, I love these guys in Detroit. You know, when I come home after living through that, and you look at the Stone Age shit that they, you know, they're doing much better. They got a good fire commissioner, good union. But the shit that they got, and it's like, I don't want to write another fucking obituary. And sure enough, within a year, I'm doing it. Of a guy in Detroit, you know, and his alarm didn't.
Oh, the firefighters here.
Walt Harris.
Yeah.
Like, here
yeah.
We, no, man. We can do better by each other than this. So sorry to bring it down, but that's... I talked to you for hours about it, but it's fucked up.
Well, I thought from the first minute it was horribly fucked up. And, of course, the way the media operates, the media can't help itself. The business of people walking around with pictures of their loved one that was missing... And they're on CNN, and they're on every network that will basically show them, which is almost everyone, showing pictures of that person in that building who we all knew were dead. There was no question about it, but they were just on the off chance that this person somehow got hit in the head and was confused, stumbling around New York somewhere. They would put person after person on the networks saying, have you seen my dad? Have you seen my mom? You know, have you seen my brother, my sister, whatever? And I was disgusted by it because I knew it was ridiculous.
You know, man, it probably got to a point where it was ad nauseum, right? That's what you're saying. Like, it's like...
There was no way these people were not in that... They were dead.
Well, how many days later or months later are you talking?
Too long.
Well, because, you know, I mean...
Too long.
I'll rip on the media a lot, you know, and I'll get ripped on a lot, but we're all humans, too. We're all human. What do you make out of such a cataclysm? What do we do? So, I can't blame any. I remember maybe it was day two, and a woman says, does your phone work? And I said, yeah, it does. And she said, do you mind if I call my niece? We were arguing yesterday, and I hung up on her. And could I use your cell phone? And you knew if she was dead. And she didn't answer. And the woman just fucking wept. And I gave her a hug. And I looked up. And there was like 5 or 6 fucking television cameras. I was like, this is so weird. That's the part that I didn't like. To rob an intimate moment, it's your right and everything. I didn't like it. I wasn't experiencing what you were seeing, you know, because I was in there. But I might agree with you. I just was busy.
Well, the...
Okay, say one more thing, 'cause they're just coming at me like one after another. All the beautiful, substantial, brave men and women who came. Remember that? They all flocked down there to help. And there was a shape-up line where you could volunteer to help dig through this shit. You know, not where you could, where you demanded to. And I remember everybody writing 2 things, one on one forum, one on the other. Your phone number with the area code on one forearm and your blood type on the other forearm. That's what everybody did. Because they're going to go in and you don't know if you're going to fall through, something's going to blow up. And I was just really proud of who we are. I know when it's like that, there's no problem with us as Americans. I know. I just know.
Yeah, there were some great moments, too.
I just, deep down, you know, I know the American soul, man. We might fight. We might be hungry. We might be at each other. But I know we're all right. I knew it from that. I know it. I just there's just too many real people. And then I'll stop, and I would like a movement. I would like a national holiday on September 11th, the Day of Remembrance, but it's also the National First Responders Day. It's the emergency workers, those who show up and get things done.
Well, you know, it surprises me that something like that didn't happen.
Who would vote against it?
Immediately, or, you know, even as soon as now. I was, before you came in, what I was talking about was how it seems like 9/11 is not as big a deal as it should be. I feel like it's a huge thing. It is Pearl Harbor for us.
Bigger.
Why? Yeah, probably is bigger. Why do we...
Maybe not. I'm sorry to
say. Yeah, it's hard to say.
I've said that, yeah.
Why has it become, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to me like it's as big a thing as it was the first few years. It was huge. But we just move on from stuff so fast now. It's, you know, we have kind of a running joke.
But it's got a root to everything going on right now.
Yeah, sure it does.
But let us not forget.
But even if it had a root to nothing, even if it just all, let's say there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and it all ended right there. We got the weapons and we came home and everything was happy ending. Well, under the circumstances. Still, the day itself, what happened that day, you could not erase or minimize what happened on that day. To see those two planes fly into that building was madness. It was absolute, I mean, I'll just never, ever forget it. I don't know how anyone can. I don't know how anyone can minimize it.
Of course, first, Pearl Harbor is not a national holiday. But having said that, those that perished in that war have a holiday, Memorial Day. Those that fight in war, soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen and women, have a holiday. why wouldn't we have a holiday for those at home?
It's all politics because, you know, then you're talking about another day off. Then you're talking about what does it cost for all the businesses?
Let's have another day off.
It's never that simple, though, Charlie.
So, well, you know what?
It will become political. I promise
then
you.
Then fuck it. So go ahead and vote against that. We don't have enough work anyway. You give us a day in honor of those that died, those that protect, and those that serve. And we all get to celebrate it. Of course, everybody's going to drink and get high and get in fights and shoot each other. And we got to call the guy.
Martin Luther King Day, when I was in Arizona, Arizona hadn't passed Martin Luther King Day because Evan Meekum said, oh, it'll just be another day off for banks and government workers. And it'll cost the state $5 million.
Pay it.
And what he was saying was in many, I don't know, it's kind of true, but he never dreamed, and of course his mind was a little old-fashioned at a minimum. I'm sure he never dreamed that it would be a day that everyone would take off eventually. Now everyone gets Martin Luther King Day off.
And, you know, look.
What's the matter with one more holiday? Do we not work hard enough in America?
Because it's MLK. Look, you know, as a country, we've never apologized for slavery. We've never had, you know, national reconciliation like even South Africa had. That's the closest thing we're getting there to admit, you know, where we came from and who we are. What's wrong with it? There's no problem acknowledging our history.
No. You know, I get this thing in my head where I sort of feel like, God, you know, nobody who is here now has held any slaves. That doesn't mean that people who are here now aren't affected by slavery. Of course they are, because their relatives did not gain wealth, which would be passed down through the years, you know, which is why reparations comes up. And I understand the concept. I don't know how you'd ever achieve something like that or where the money would come from. But of course, slavery still has an impact. My God, every second of every day it does. But there's a part of me that it kind of feels like, damn it, I didn't do anything. And
well, you
didn't do anything. And geez, I feel shitty about it and guilty about it.
It's part of your legacy, too. No, we weren't there then. But in terms of...
And these people, by the way, that we revere so much, the Jeffersons and the Washingtons and Thomas Jefferson, who held slaves, who had sex with slaves, had kids with slaves, and yet, you know, the Constitution is this revered, this document that we can't ever deviate from because these people were so wonderful and it was such a perfect document, and yet, well, wait a second.
Well, we do, you know, I mean, we've moved on from 3/5 of a human being. But yeah. Again, we're all here together.
Reconstruction.
There's nothing wrong with a gesture to your fellow man and acknowledge the shared history. This doesn't mean anybody's a puke or, you know, anybody's a racist or you have to shoulder blame. This is a national acknowledgement of what we are. I don't, you know, no. Lots of people accuse me of being a liberal and they accuse me of being a conservative. I'm a mixed person. I'm, you know, basically raised white. You know what I mean? I'm proud of that. But I don't really have a, I don't know, man. I just want this shit to heal. I want it to move on. And I want my daughter and I want Mags and Layla to have a nice place to live. You know, we got to fix a lot of stuff instead of arguing.
Well, I think we're trying. I think we're trying to fix stuff.
Do you?
And I do,
We started this off by like, what the fuck is going on in Flint?
Well...
And, you know, the whole rap on that, what the media does, well, you know, majority black town. What does that mean? It's black and white. You know what Flint is? It's blue collar. It's us. Let's be us. U.S. Let's do it.
I was just about to take this in a slightly different direction.
Thank God. I'm making myself sick. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'm reading about how the Seattle Seahawks are talking about all not standing for the national anthem on Sunday, the entire team, as in all for one and one for all. It's not going to be an individual thing, which I respect. I respect the feeling of team and being together. And, you know, I think that's kind of an interesting gesture. Maybe one of the better ones I've heard so far. I don't know if this means they're going to do this every week. Or
again, you know, here, Colin, call. Can we get Kaepernick? Tell me why exactly again. You can do whatever you want,
why,
man.
Why he's not standing?
Yeah,
because of the oppression of black people, and he specifically referred to originally. And the more I hear him talk, by the way, the less I
does
I like
that
what he's
mean?
Doing.
Does that mean? See, when you stand for that anthem and the flag, it's for the ideal.
Thank you. I feel the same way.
I'm not going to rag the guy. You haven't heard me do it. There's a lot wrong. But the ideal.
I feel like I'm standing for the United States and the idea, warts and all, we're trying.
Together.
We're trying to get it right.
E pluribus unum. Yeah, let's keep going. Okay, you want to call attention to it? You're not going to hear shit from me. I fly the flag. A lot of my people, way through the whole history of this, fought for the ideal.
His jersey, by the way, is the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now.
Well, fucking right on. Go ahead, man. You know, again, I'm not going to argue over this shit. You want to ask me what I feel? Cool. What you feel? Cool. What you think? I reasonably can understand it. That's all. I mean, I don't want to get involved in it, but I stand. So, you know, don't dog me for standing. I won't dog you for not standing.
And by the way, a long time ago.
And help me when I'm in need, man. Be a man.
Not that long ago, probably 11, 12 years ago, and I talked about this briefly in the podcast, we noticed somebody who never stood for the national anthem at Pistons games when we were going to the games all the time. And it was a black woman. And not too long after that, I read a story about the national anthem. And basically people... minority people were being asked, you know, what do you think of the national anthem? And some people were saying, you know, I don't take my hat off. I don't stand because, you know, I really don't believe it's for me. And after I read that, I looked around the arena during the anthem and I noticed that there were maybe, you know, 10, 12 people who were sitting through the entire anthem, and they weren't making a big deal out of it or anything, but they were. And I guess it's not as uncommon. Of course, you never see an athlete sitting down for the national anthem. Doesn't happen. But now we've got this chick soccer player, this professional soccer player who took a knee.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at that yesterday. And the thing that we couldn't get over was this professional soccer league. There's like 20 people in this giant stadium. And this story, you know, it's a huge story. It's a national, international story about this girl who's not standing for the anthem in support of Colin Kaepernick and his thoughts, I guess. But...
well, it's important to point out, because she does, that she's a lesbian and understands what not having equal rights means.
Yeah.
All right, do what you're going to do.
I didn't know she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I sure hope she is. I think that's what I read.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't read that much about it. And then you've got the coach of the U.S. hockey team who's saying if anybody doesn't stand, they're not going to play. And
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, probably not.
But you want to wear the
U.S. hockey.
You want to wear the national jersey, yeah, man. You kind of,
yeah.
I would.
I don't think sitting for the national anthem is the. I don't think that's the way to do this. I think I would react in another manner. And also, I'm getting a little tired of this pounding on the police in this country, okay. Which is what the Kaepernick story is all about.
Well, before we go there, let me just say, for everything that's fucked up, and a lot's fucked up here, and I've been around 5 continents. This is the greatest experiment in humanity, this country, that there has ever been.
And everybody's dying to get in here. There sure as hell are people lined up trying to get here for some reason.
Yeah.
It can't be that fucking bad.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, we got issues, but well, I honor the ideal of you know, we're trying to get there. And no, we're not perfect.
I do think we're trying to get
there. But we get there so fast. If you look at like the way the world works, look at the world now, and you're talking about the Stone Age and all that. Mm-hmm. We move so fucking fast. We will get there.
If we believe. Nothing's ever perfect, but I think we're moving in the right direction. I think things are moving very quickly right now. In fact, I think there are things being addressed that I never dreamed. I did not think you'd have gay marriage being no big deal
okay.
by 2016.
And you know what?
Kaepernick,
if you think this is going to get us closer to where we need to be, then be brave, son. Do what you're going to do. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hate you.
I think he overall is being lauded more so than criticized.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's in the majority, but there's a sizable minority.
The president's behind him.
Look, man, you get to do what you want to do, baby. It's America, man.
Sure.
Do what you want to do.
And if you think it's bullshit, you can say it's bullshit.
It's bullshit. I'll wear your jersey I won't.
And that's one of the things I love about this place is, if Hillary Clinton is the president and I want to call her a cunt, I can call her a cunt.
Yep. And she's still my president.
Yeah, she's still my president.
And I still go to obey the laws.
I'm not saying she's a cunt, by the way. I'm just saying I could say that and nobody's going to do anything. They might. Might not like it. People might choose to not listen. I don't know.
This woman, she's a basket case.
A drop. Yes. A drop.
Do we got any Clinton drops on Trump? Can we get some of those?
Oh, we've got a few of those.
He's, you know.
But her drops are, oh my God.
Can deal me in.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. Love Trump's hate.
Deal me in.
Who can, I don't know if I can stand to listen to her for 8 years. I really don't.
He's written a lot of books about business.
Oh, God.
They all seem to end at chapter 11. Here is what I want you to remember. My last thought for you today.
I feel like someone's bossing
me
around.
Just remember, love trumps hate.
Love trumps hate.
Love trumps hate.
Didn't you take a public speaking class?
Who are the Lions opening up against?
Indianapolis.
Okay, so this election's kind of like that. I don't even want to watch this shit. But I tell you what, speaking of football, that debate is going to be like Super Bowl ready.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching. And you know what? It's tightened up.
Yes, it has. Very much.
He's within striking range, and I guarantee you, listening audience, that there's 4%. Being polled that will not admit.
I totally agree. I know what you're going to say. And
this baby is close.
Yeah, it's closer than the numbers say. Let's wrap up part one and part two. Hopefully, let's lighten it up a little bit. I think we covered some important ground, some heavy ground, 9/11. I feel good about it because my whole point, I think, was proven that we don't spend enough time. We don't really... respect that day the way we should, and I think we gave it some good props.
Oh, beautiful spacious skies for amber.
What's the end of is this the end of Deer Hunter? Oh my God, is that sad?
Mountain
all right, we'll see you in part two.
Across the fruited plain.
See you in part two.